To Moon Vibes album reviews. I'm your host, Deshaun Minor, and this is the genuine examination of our beloved composer's artwork geared to increase art appreciation within our communities and to stimulate the journey of deeper understanding of music. Music is everlasting. Music is a universal language speaking fluently through our eardrums at instantaneous velocities, entertaining our minds ever so passionately, enabling the human race an alternative to experience the frequencies of our time, benefit as therapy for our spirits, and to empower the multitudes to perceive, because perception is everything. An album could be characterized to some as an expressionless catalog for their assertion of masterpieces, manifestations, or phenomena. An album can also be illustrated to others as a remarkable compilation of recordings distributed as an individual entity on CD, record, vinyl, or another outlet. Speaking of outlets, injecting the aux cable inside of gadgets creates curiosities within our essence that we visualize within our imaginations. Those sweet sounds absorbed me at a young age, and the exploration began into the depths of music. Artists like Michael Jackson, Babyface, and Smokey Robinson helped soothe away mental and emotional pains. Artists like Anita Baker, Erykah Badu, and Nina Simone sang melodic lullabies within my dreams. Artists like Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, and Nipsey Hussle helped keep my mindset elevated to dream. These are only some of the artists that changed my perceptions of this existence. Buckle your seatbelts as we break down our favorite musicians' catalogs, unpack the stories of their lifetime, as we figure out how to embrace and apply those illustrious illustrations into our own realities. Welcome to Moon Vibes Album Reviews. Stage name, D'Angelo. Real name, Michael Eugene Archer. Album review, Brown Sugar. Genre, hip-hop, funk, soul. Style, R&B and swing, neo-soul. Released, 1995. D'Angelo's debut was an abrupt surprise to 90s R&B. The deluxe, enhanced interpretation of Brown Sugar discloses the importance to which it was grown people's music, created by a 21-year-old wizard. The charm of D'Angelo started in 1995 on his debut single Brown Sugar, where he appeared as a reflective figure in the contemporary soul game. Supplied with an angelic mouthpiece and hip-hop bravado, D'Angelo was proportional parts Marvin Gaye and LL Cool J, the consummate composer, and the waviest gentleman in the room. It's like he had prevailed here previously and understood how to perform it right this time. His combination of 1970s R&B and hip-hop felt uniquely vintage and current. He appealed to a broad range of listeners and helped steer in a new strain of ebony music. Brown Sugar, D'Angelo's debut, developed into a significant predecessor of what's now called neo-soul. Published before Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite in 1996 and Erykah Badu's Baduism in 1997, D'Angelo remade the expression of R&B while reimbursing reverence to its originators, Stevie Wonder, Donnie Hathaway, Curtis Mayfield, and the equivalent. The prosperity of Brown Sugar paved the path for musicians like Anthony Hamilton, Jill Scott, and Alicia Keys to smash into the world of mainstream and accomplish their own degrees of prestige. And to understand, the album was virtually a small-scale exhibition described in relation to its follow-ups, the groundbreaking Voodoo and the explosion of Black Messiah. Brown Sugar was totally bedroom soul. He said in an interview, "I wrote the majority of that record in my bedroom in Richmond, and all of the demos for it were done on a 4-track, D'Angelo recollected in a 2014 interview. Brown Sugar entered our realities during the apex of hip-hop's golden age, when rappers like Nas and the Notorious B.I.G. and unions like Wu-Tang Clan and A Tribe Called Quest existed at the peak of their strengths. D'Angelo immediately matches the silhouette. With his straight-back cornrow braids and baggy apparel, he looked like a rapper of that period. However, his symphony disputed that which monopolized the airwaves. Until Brown Sugar appeared, top 40 R&B skewed incredibly much towards hip-hop, from the animated tick of its beats to the guest rap lyrics that felt critical for practically every single. Ballads like Monica's Don't Take It Personal, Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It, and Adina Howard's Freak Like Me seem influenced by Teddy Riley's New Jack Swing style production, which dominated urban music in 1980s and the early 1990s. Let me tell you about this girl, maybe I should. I met her in Philly and her name was Brian. See, we be making love constantly, that's why my eyes are a shade blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way that I be kissing. When I'm kissing, what I'm missing, won't you listen? Brown sugar, babe, I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be. When you're close to me, you love me right down to my knees. And whenever you let me hit it, sweet like honey when it comes to me. Brown Sugar is the debut studio album by R&B singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist D'Angelo. Like we said before, it was released on July 3rd, 1995 by EMI Music, and it garnered massive critical acclaim and popularity, as evidenced by 4 Grammy Award nominations, its debut spot at number 6 on the U.S. Billboard Top R&B Albums chart, with 300,000 copies sold just after its first 2 months, its 65 weeks spent on the Billboard 200 chart, and its RIAA certified platinum status attained within a year of its release. Brown Sugar mostly deals with themes of love, romance, infatuation, and heartbreak, but its legacy as a classic lives on through its revolutionary production and musicality. Let's talk about the track as a whole. It was produced by D'Angelo and Ali Shaheed Muhammad, written by D'Angelo and Ali Shaheed Muhammad. The title track of D'Angelo's debut album is not a love song about a dark-skinned woman, even though it may seem that way at first listen. He's actually professing his love for marijuana in the same personification style Rick James used for his 1978 classic Mary Jane. D'Angelo's debut single peaked at number 27 on Billboard Hot 100 and number 5 on the R&B Hot Hip Hop Songs charts, as well as receiving a Grammy nomination in 1996 for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance. The song was also ranked number 4 on Complex's list of best songs about weed. Producer Ali Shaheed Muhammad once spoke about how this song actually came together in a quote, saying, "At first, it sounded like intermission music, but then he started playing this chord progression, and I stopped and looked at him. Even he wasn't aware of what exactly he was playing. He just had his hands on the keyboard. When I asked him what he was playing, he said nothing. Next thing, D'Angelo played bass on top of those chords and went over it with some lines. He said, hold up, can we sit with this for a second? Maybe another 15 minutes went by before we finally went into the booth and started doing the backgrounds. And that's how the title track, Brown Sugar, came to be. It was too good to be true because the song came out of 20 minutes and a mistake. You have to realize, at the time, nothing else had that sound. Brown Sugar, the song, has a different texture and feel than everything else on the entire album. Additional credits go to Bob Powers for being the mixer. Instruments, vocal arrangements, musical arrangements, additional were provided by D'Angelo. Additional engineering is provided by Tim Latham. Drum programming by Ali Shaheed Muhammad. And it was interpolated Little Kim in her song Dreams. This song was remixed a handful of different times. But before we talk about that, let's get into the lyrics. Let me tell you about this girl, maybe I shouldn't. I met her in Philly and her name was Brown Sugar. See, we be making love constantly. That's why my eyes are a shade blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way. That I be kissing when I'm kissing what I'm missing. Won't you listen? Brown Sugar likely alludes to a blunt in which D smoked for the first time in Philadelphia. Nothing makes eyes a shade of blood burgundy more than smoking weed. And a blunt is unlike any other way of making love to Mary. Mary Jane, that is. D'Angelo smokes a lot of kush and compares the way he inhales the weed smoke to kissing a girl. The Philly reference might also refer to a Philly blunt, which comes in a Philly cigar.
So that's deeper interpretation of that line. Then he goes into the hook. Brown sugar, babe, I get high off your love. I don't know how to behave. I want some of your brown sugar, which he repeats a total of 4 times with the soothing ooh oohs in the background. D'Angelo is literally getting high off of his love for weed. Though some would consider it to be good behavior to stop smoking, D'Angelo simply can't do this and he just wants more, as you see in the hook. Verse 2 says, oh sugar, when you're close to me, you love me right down to my knees. And whenever you let me hit it, sweet like the honey when it comes to me. Skin is caramel with those cocoa eyes. Even got a big sister by the name of Chocolate Tie. Let's break it down one by one. Oh sugar, when you're close to me, you love me right down to my knees. When he has weed, he smokes it. The strength of the weed is so powerful that he feels it down to his knees. Then you go to the next line. And whenever you let me hit it, sweet like the honey when it comes to me. Skin is caramel and those cocoa eyes. Buns come in different flavors to suit up your taste, right? You have your flavored wraps. You have things that are less flavored. But for him, he was probably smoking out of a honey flavored wrap. Now, they are brown or caramel in appearance. And when inhaled, the end has darker cocoa spots because of the fire burning the cigar. But then the last line, even got a big sister by the name of Chocolate Tie. Peep this. Chocolate Tie is a form of sativa and is one of the purest marijuana strains. It's dope that he's mentioning one of the purest marijuana strains and one of the purest albums that we've gotten in the last 25 years. It gives you a very powerful high, although D'Angelo usually smokes less potent strains. Sometimes he hits it with his big sister. So using weed to basically tell a story. He goes back to the hook again. Brown sugar, babe, I get high off your love. I don't know how to behave. That be how the story goes. Brown sugar got me open, now I want some more. Always down for a menage a trois, but I think I'ma hit it solo. Hope my niggas don't mind. Stick my tongue out and I'm bout ready to hit this pretty gritty bitty with persistence. Yo, I don't think y'all hear me. Let's break it down. That'll be how the story goes. Brown sugar got me open, now I want some more. When you get high, you usually are feeling freer. Lifted. He also mentions the act of rotation. Always down for a menage a trois. Menage a trois is a sexual innuendo or reference. And it also, he's using it from a play of words to reference when you're smoking with other people, also known as a rotation. Leaving your friends out of rotation when you're smoking can lead to people being hurt with their feelings. However, in this case, D'Angelo describes how he enjoys smoking by himself most of the times. Now, note again how he aligns this to having a sexual relations with a female, either in a threesome, menage a trois, or a solo. So it goes back into this play of words of Mary Jane personified as a woman. Is he talking about a woman? Or is he talking about deeper? Ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about deeper. And it gets so deeper that he says, stick out my tongue and I'm about ready to hit this pretty gritty bitty with persistence. I don't think y'all hear me. Let's look at it both ways. Stick out my tongue. He just made the sexual innuendo or reference when it comes to menage a trois. Stick out my tongue could also be like using a sexual way. But if you just look at it from the theme of smoking, some people tend to smoke blunts by slightly sticking their tongue out, right? And I'm ready to hit this pretty gritty bitty with persistence. Not just one a couple of times, but with persistence to make it all the way through. D'Angelo wants to get every drop of this high. So he inhales very deeply and every bit of the blunt down to the last drop, or in this case, a roach. Then he comes back again and says, brown sugar, babe, I get high off your love. I don't know how to behave. I want some of your brown sugar. The way this track hits to me, it's kind of ironic that the recording engineer for this song's name is G-Spot. I don't feel like that was by chance, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it gives off of this vibe that it's about a woman, but it's a mind-blowing reality when you realize, like, bro, he's not even talking about a woman, not one that we can virtually physically touch see, but one that we can see as far as Mary Jane, made famous by Rick James. D'Angelo was different. The excellent understanding of contemporary rap and aged soul. And Brown Sugar was a masterclass in this alchemy. It was as if, from the very beginning, he wasn't attempting to go against the grain. He only wanted to maintain these elements low-key.
for illustration in the video for Brown Sugar. The spectacle unravels in the smoky jazz club on what appears to be open mic night. It harkened back to the importance of soul and jazz music, live records cut at the Village Vanguard or Five Spot. The crown track in the album felt truthful and pure. You could feel the lush instrumentation, the integrity in the lyrics, the affection of the keys. This wasn't R&B deliberately intended for inexperienced ears. Brown Sugar was grown folk symphony. It just happened that a 21-year-old mastermind created it. All these years later, Brown Sugar is still just as vibrant, spewing a powerful vintage personality that functions in any era. It possesses everything.
Song number two, All Right, was actually produced by Bob Power and D'Angelo. Written by D'Angelo, mixed by Bob Power. He's also the recording engineer. D'Angelo shares in vocal arrangements, musical arrangements, and all instruments provided by D'Angelo. Assistant engineer, G-Spot, with the guitar coming from Bob Power. Let's talk about some of the samples that came from this song and for this song. So, D'Angelo, the only credited sample for this track, All Right, is Explain It to Her Mama by The Temp Breeze that came out in 1972. So that's the only credited sample for it. But it's been sampled in a total of 7 songs. The most notable 2 are 03 Adolescence by J. Cole in 2014 and also Ignorance is Bliss by Kendrick Lamar in 2010. Let's talk about the lyrics. Verse 1, it says, "That's all right. We may have an understanding, that's okay. Because you're my girl and I'm your man. And that's just fine. Girl, your touch still drives me wild. We'll be all right. Because all we have to do is just talk for a while." And the bridge said as follows, "And if we don't see eye to eye, at least we tried. We've been through too much to let all those little things get in the middle of us, so let us ease back, relax, because everything is going to be all right. Hook is going to be all right, be all right, going to be all right, be all right." Repeat it 3 times. Verse 2 says, "Baby doll, you don't have to worry at all, because it's all right. Girl, we've climbed too far and too high to fall, so let's talk about it. And baby, if we disagree, then let's forget about it, because in the end, I will always love you and you'll always love me. And even if we don't see eye to eye, at least we tried. We've been through too much to let all the little things get in the middle of. So let us ease back, relax, because everything's going to be all right." The song is very, very simple as far as its structure for the lyrics. However, the message of it seems to be, you know, we're fighting at this time, you and my significant other. We are going through this time of uncertainty. Now we have to come together to get to a common ground, a place where we can both move forward on the same page. This is what I take from it, just from the simple lyrics. It's almost like he's soothing her mind, soothing her doubts, soothing her fears by not only his voice and the crooning nature of his vocals on this track, but also from the standpoint of the lyrics, with him admitting that they have a misunderstanding. So he's admitting that he has a misunderstanding. So it's not like he's just being oblivious to the fact that there's problems that are existing in their relationship. He's addressing it. He's saying, we have an understanding, but that's all right because you're my girl. So he's giving her proper recognition, let her know of her place and her status with him, because sometimes people just want to know where they stand with you. He's showcasing, because you're my girl and I'm your man. So it would have been one thing if he would have just said, because you're my girl, and then that's it. But he's saying, you're my girl and I'm your man, so it's like a duality between it, and that's just fine. Girl, your touch still drives me wild, so it's letting her know that he still is affected by everything that she does to him, specifically her touching him. All we have to do is just talk for a while. Communication, the art of communication. We talked about the samples that we come from, the songs where Ignorance is Bliss by Kendrick and OT Adolescence by Cole. We could talk about in a later episode about those specific songs and how they relate to this one right here, but the hook is simple. You want to be all right, be all right. The way he sings it is like so majestic, and it gives me like pure feelings and pure vibes. If this was the second track of Brown Sugar, it keeps up this story that he's going to tell. The bass line in that track is absolutely ridiculous. I do feel, without a shadow of a doubt, that it's simple, but super effective. Verse 2 kind of shows that even more, where he says, baby doll, you don't have to worry at all, because it's all right. Girl, we've climbed too high to fall, so let's talk about it. And baby, if we disagreed, then let's forget about it, because in the end, I'll always love you, and you'll always love me. Effective. Reminds me of the likes of Curtis Mayfield and Bill Withers, those artists that came from the previous generation, how they could use so much simplicity in their song lyrics, but paint a picture so vividly. Listening to it kind of immerses me in their conversation. Really, if we look at it to the core, D'Angelo just wants them to be good. We have to talk about it, whether we have to forget about it. We just got to know that we love each other, and that's just going to be what it is. So there's no reason for us to worry. It's simple, but it's true. Jones in My Bones is featuring Angela Stone, produced by D'Angelo, written by D'Angelo and Angela Stone, mixer Russell L. Lovato, recording engineer G-Spot, vocal arrangements, musical arrangements, all instruments provided by D'Angelo, guitar is Bob Power, assistant engineers Rob Farrell and Chaz Harper, recorded at Battery Studios in New York City, New York. This is the third song off of Brown Sugar. And according to Urban Dictionary, Jones for your bones means that you are horny. So I got a Jones in my bones. This feeling that I got, it won't leave me alone. Similar to like that lust or sexual desire. Either you suppress it or you feed into it. This feeling, it goes long and strong. So he must be at that place where he is, his needs to be fulfilled. In the verse, he says, all my natural life. It doesn't seem like just a coincidence that he used my natural life. He could have just said all my life, But he said, all of my natural life, I've been waiting. I've been holding on. So not only are you waiting, you're holding on. What are you holding on to? You might be holding on to an idea, might be holding on to that urge. What I wouldn't do to get next to the things that were meant for me, how he feels so much about this woman. But if you are using your imagination, I got a Jones in my bones. I said, this feeling that I got won't leave me alone. On and on and on and on. It is with Angela Stone, who he happens to have a child with. It just feels like one of those sex songs. So we had to talk about marijuana in the first track, Brown Sugar. All Right was more so, let's come together and get ourselves at the proper place where we are no longer worrying about things that is wrong with us, but admiring the beauty of what we have. This song, Jones in My Bones, just makes me feel like this is one of those sex songs that you just put on a playlist whenever you're about to get it on. How it sounds sonically, how the vibe is for it. It's very therapeutic, but it's also stimulating, invigorating. This feeling that I got, them won't leave me alone. I said, this feeling that I got goes long and strong. Could I make the argument that he's talking about long and strong, like his sex drive that goes long and strong for this woman? Who knows? But that's just my interpretation of it. Co-written and co-produced by Ali Shaheed Muhammad of A Tribe Called Quest, Brown Sugar, a thinly veiled ballad to the attraction of marijuana, was misunderstood by many to be the normal lady-friendly groove. Provoking to thought smoky jazz clubs and cigar lounges, Brown Sugar slowly caught on as a hit, peaking at number 5 on the Billboard's Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart, immediately silencing you into a sedated head bop with its opening sounds. Brown Sugar launches on his musical journey, commencing with the favorable thumper, All Right, the most modern, upbeat contribution in terms of his sonic configuration. Co-produced by Bob Power, All Right reveals D'Angelo balancing with his important additional under the image that their affection will survive. On Jones in My Bones, the Virginia native's vicious sexual propensities are conveyed as he harmonizes the refrain. Said I got a Jones in my bones. I said this feeling that I got won't leave me alone. Over fanciful keys and cadence kicks and snares. Written by D'Angelo and his ex-girlfriend Angie Stone, Jones in My Bones is one of the choices from Brown Sugar that serves as a monument of the neo-soul template as it intertwines hip, streetwise phrases and urban philosophy with lush, jazz-inspired instrumentation. Notable samples of this song include South of the River by Time Miss and also Brackets by J. Cole. It was remixed a handful of times. This song is like so dang orgasmic. Like, I mean, if anybody used these lyrics as a love letter, I can guarantee you that you're going to get whatever you're looking for. I promise you. Verse 1 says, when I first saw you, baby, I wanted to die. Me and those dreaming eyes of mine started to cry, then I dreamed. Wishing my fantasy would soon become reality. Every time I see you, baby, all I do is sigh. Cause you're the most precious thing, baby, that my dreaming eyes has ever seen. So I continue to dream, me and those dreaming eyes of mine. Is it just that you're the finest little thing that I've ever saw? Or is it my imagination running too far? Or is it that my eyes are telling me something you can never see? Something like me being with you and you being with me. Cora says, oh, wee, baby, you redefined my vision of love, it seems. Your love be the cherry in my chocolate-covered dreams. So it seems. My, oh, my, me and those dreaming eyes of mine. Verse 2 says, oh, my goodness, here she comes, switching that ass. I wonder if the men in her past had treated her bad. But if I had the chance, I'd treat her like a queen, just like I do in all my dreams. If you only knew how many times that I think of you, I'm quite sure that you were fine. Yeah, I'm sure that you were fine. I'm going out my mind. My, oh, my, me and those dreaming eyes of mine. Is it just that you're the finest little thing that I've ever saw? Or is my imagination running too far? Or is it that my eyes are telling me something you can never see? Something like me being with you and you being with me. And then he does it all over again with another chorus, bridge, and then a chorus again. When you have that much substance in your lyrics, you don't even need the crazy production, him fantasizing about a woman that to the point where he feels like he's dreaming. But this is poetry 101, how to get a girl 101, macking 101. This is caking 101, an interpretation of what and how to go about approaching a woman. This will be the song that you should play on repeat. Because this is exactly what it is. He just painted a picture of what this woman is. So me just looking at the song, this woman got to be bad for him to look at her this highly. He said, when I first saw you, I wanted to die. Started to cry. Then I dreamed, wishing my fantasy would soon become reality. It shows the power of his mind. It shows the power of him dreaming. It's pro-dream to me. When I say pro-dream, I mean pro-imagination. Allowing us, the audience, a front row seat into him. I don't want to say lusting. It's more so admiration for a woman that he wants to become his. So much so that he's just like, I wonder if the men in her past had treated her bad. Because if I had the chance, I'd treat her like a queen. Just like I do in all my dreams. Bars. He's giving you bars. His songwriting is on another level. It's not like it's a lot. It's overly saturated. It's not overly complex with its song structure and the layout of how he goes about doing it. But this song is another one where he's in his bag. Why are you sleeping with my woman? Why are you sleeping with my woman? This comes as no surprise. I just can't believe my eyes. My best friend and my wife. Circulated 25 years ago, D'Angelo's debut album, Brown Sugar, is a record that birthed neo-soul and shifted the path of R&B forever. Identical to numerous voices and composers, D'Angelo, the son and grandson of preachers, got his start performing gospel. When I was going to church, they used to say, "Don't go up there for no form or no fashion," D'Angelo recalled in a 2014 interview. I guess what that means is, you're up there singing for the Lord, so don't try to be cute. He don't care about that. He just want to feel the spirit moving through you. Born Michael Eugene Archer in Richmond, Virginia, on February 11, 1974, D'Angelo was an insular imaginer from as early as the age of 3, when his elder brother Luther discovered him playing the house piano, displaying an instinctive proficiency of the keys beyond his years. When he reached his teenage years, D'Angelo shaped his own band, Michael Archer and Precise, shaping his ability through concerts at family reunions and local talent showcases. However, it wouldn't be until the group roamed to New York City to contend at Amateur Night competition at Harlem's famed Apollo Theater in 1991 that he completely realized his powers as an entertainer.
Originally placing fourth and being booed off stage while vocalizing Peebo Bryson's Feel the Fire, D'Angelo restored himself the following year, performing R&B singer Johnny Gill's Rub You the Right Way. He walked away with a first place finish in 3 consecutive weeks. When they said I won, I went off, he said, talking about his first win. We got back on the bus and went right back to Richmond. I stayed up the whole time. I was smoking cigarettes and I was looking out the window just thinking about everything. I got a check for $500, bought a 4-track and started writing. I wanted to make an album. Stimulated by the occurrence, D'Angelo elected to drop out of high school and submerge himself in music, writing, and recording songs, many of which would materialize on his debut album from the comfort of his bedroom in his mother's house. During the process, D'Angelo joined a rap group from Chesterfield, Virginia, known as IDU, which stood for Intelligent, Deadly, but Unique. The group joined it to New York City for a meeting with EMI Music. The executives at EMI passed on signing IDU, but were enthusiastic in taking on D'Angelo as a solo act. Jocelyn Cooper, the founder of Midnight Songs, signed D'Angelo to a publishing contract in 1991, and 2 years later, A&R man Gary Harris inked him to a record contract, coming after a now legendary 3-hour edition during which D'Angelo blew away executives with a sensational piano recital. Soon after, Kedar Massenburg, who had previously organized Brooklyn rap group Stetsasonic, and who would uncover acts like Erykah Badu and Eric Benet years later, assumed the role of D'Angelo's manager, based on the hum D'Angelo's demo had built. In 1994, D'Angelo attained his first notable credit, co-writing and co-producing the song You Will Know, for the all-male R&B supergroup Black Men United, which features star vocalists Brian McKnight, Usher, R. Kelly, Boyz II Men, Raphael Sadiq, and Gerald Levert. Encompassed on the soundtrack to the film Jason's Lyric, You Will Know climaxed at number 28 on the Billboard Hot 100 and was supported by a music video in which D'Angelo made a cameo as the group's choir director. He also composed and produced Overjoyed, a song from the Boys Choir of Harlem's 1994 album, The Sound of Hope, further strengthening to the hype encircling him. On July 3, 1995, D'Angelo released Brown Sugar, an album that created neo-soul and altered the trend of R&B. In a generation where many acts called upon a team of producers to help formulate an album, D'Angelo presented himself as the ultimate R&B cornerstone, composing and producing the majority of the substance on the album.
How do you retain your cool? Seems your love breaks all the rules. You may think that I'm a pro, but I can never seem to keep my control. How can you stand to take things so slow? Look at you, you're so smooth. When I'm around you, I can't keep my cool. I'm so used to getting what I want, when I want it, where I want it. But in your field, I'm inexperienced. So inexperienced, baby, I'm delirious. So just like you, I'll keep my cool when you're around. I won't be the fool. You may think that I don't know, but all things I want are in my control. How can I stand to take so slow? And he repeats the chorus as we close out the song. This is another track that was produced by Bob Powers and D'Angelo. We have their hands all over this project, written by D'Angelo, Luther Archer. We also have vocal arrangements, musical arrangements, and all other instruments provided by D'Angelo. Drums, Gene Lake. Bass, Larry Grenadier. guitar, Mark Whitfield. I love the jazzy feel of it. So simplistic. He has a lot of these on this project. The bass line on that track is phenomenal. Despite it being so simplistic in nature or minimalistic in nature as far as lyrics, it seems to complement the beat. It's smooth, one of those songs that we've kind of like pushed to the back burner, so caught up in Brown Sugar or Lady or Jones in My Bones, that we kind of just gloss over the fact that Smooth is just like its title, so incredibly smooth. Even the lyrics are smooth. Look at you, you so smooth. So she's so cool, calm, and collected. Smooth, knows how to carry herself under this. But for him, he's so inexperienced, baby. I am what? Delirious. The definition of delirious is acutely disturbed state of mind resulting from illness or intoxication and characterized by recklessness, illusions, and incoherence of thought and speech in a state of wild excitement or ecstasy. He's definitely like not used to being in her presence or infatuated with her, even embracing the elements of love or connectedness, companionship. She might be used to it. He's not. It's almost like he's asking for patience, but at the same time admiring how smooth she is. He's going through it on his end because in reality, he can't even keep himself together when he's around her because this is so out of his league. So just like you, I'll keep my cool when you're around. I won't be the fool. D'Angelo's girl or the woman that he's referring to in this song is like always calm, level-headed, is never acting stupid. He wants to act in the same way in order to impress her or to get more ground with her. In order to do that, he's going to have to change his way and stop acting so immature around her. Keep in mind, he was only 21 when he had this album, 19 when he was recording, initially crafting the sounds of this album in his bedroom at his mom's house. Could this be an older woman that is mature, that he's not used to that, so therefore he feels the need to have to change or adapt to her surroundings just to be just as smooth as her? It makes you think.
The supreme pupil of his skill, D'Angelo has frequently been correlated to greats like Prince, Curtis Mayfield, Stevie Wonder, and Donnie Hathaway. But the one artist whose equals to his own are unavoidable is Marvin Gaye, whom he channels on numerous illustrations throughout Brown Sugar. While documenting all of the above as influences, his relationship with Marvin Gaye is a tormenting one. In a 2000 interview with Quest for Love Vibe, he discussed what he was doing on April 1st, 1984, the day Marvin Gaye was shot and killed by his father. I knew about Let's Get It On and Sexual Healing, but I hadn't really gotten into him. But after that day, I couldn't listen to his shit. It wasn't a conscious effort. I just couldn't listen to it. If his song came on in the car, I would throw temper tantrums to my mom, cut it off. Yo, one night I had a nightmare about him. And when I woke up from the dream, I turned on the radio and I heard it through the grapevine was on. I was going crazy. D'Angelo's affinity for the harmonious stylings of his adolescence rears his head on the track Me and Those Dreaming Eyes of Mine, one of those writings he penned back home in Richmond, and Cruising, his interpretation of Smokey Robinson's 1979 hit of the same name. The preceding is the element of Gaye's passionate ballads, while the recent provides his ancestor a run for his money and puts a contemporary twist on one of the most signature ballads of the Motown era. Thank you.
Now, Cruisin' became a big pop hit for Smokey Robinson, peaking at number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 4 on the Billboard's R&B and Singles chart. Guitarist Marv Tarplin had written the music 5 years before Smokey Robinson came up with the lyrics. After hearing the Rascals grooving, he considered making that the main concept of the song, but later come up with Cruisin' instead and felt it matched the song's central sound even better. Baby, let's cruise away from here. Don't be confused, the way is clear. And if you want, it's not a one-night stand. In 1969, 10 years before Cruisin' was released, Kool & the Gang dropped a song called Let the Music Take Your Mind. Kool & the Gang's Let the Music Take Your Mind was one of the inspirations from Smokey Robinson in this line. Smokey Robinson actually shared in 2009 that this was the first lyric that came to him. Guitarist Marv Tarplin put the music on cassette and gave it to me to write the lyrics. As it turned out, it took me 5 years to write. I had the music, and that music is so intimate and essential, but I couldn't get the words. Then one day I got, "You're gonna fly away, and I'm glad you're coming my way." And the rest of the song flowed together. It's a love ballad that definitely takes your mind to an oasis of peace. That's what it feels like. Unapologetically. For this song, it's a cover of two songs, Jammies Let's Cruise by Anthony Malvo and Colin Roach, and of course Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson. Both came out 1989 and 1979 respectively. The song was actually remixed in three different versions: Cruisin' Wet Remix by D'Angelo in 1995, Cruisin' Dallas Austin Remix, and Cruisin' Cut the Sax Remix by King Tech in 1995 as well. The vocal arranger was D'Angelo, vocal arranger, assistant engineer Rod Farrell, additional engineer Tim Latham. This track was sampled in two songs, Shell of Light by Burial in 2007 and Capone Bone by Capone Noriega in 1997. Cruisin' as a whole, the lyrics, kind of self-explanatory. It's all coming from Smokey Robinson because this is a cover of his song. I can see why people say that it's better than the Smokey Robinson's version because it's only some minor changes, a slight change in the BPM and the tempo, and a slight adding of kicks in there. Smokey Robinson's was more majestic, soothing would be the better word to go for. So I see how people can say, oh, D'Angelo's version and the cover is better, but like I say all the time in sample school, sometimes you gotta just give credit to the original and understand how powerful the original was, because without the original, there would be no Cruisin' by D'Angelo. You have to understand that, recognize that, and express that in this album review. Now, as a whole, I love the way that he kept it and stayed true to the original song, but also made it his own. That's one of the things that we get with covers. Can artists take the song and make it their own while still paying homage to the artists that paved the way for them to even sample this or cover this in the first place? Are you still staying pure in your recreation of this ballad? And I think that he definitely did that. All these years later, Brown Sugar is still just as vibrant, spewing a powerful vintage personality that functions in any era. It possessed everything. Shit, Damn, Mofo, a murky anecdote about casualty and cheating, evolved into a gritty street anthem that soundtracked a climactic scene in the 1999 movie The Best Man. With its upbeat gospel influence, When We Get By was an uplifting melody in the seam of Ray Charles as a track that fused the genre's conventional and modern elements.
on Cruising, the Smokey Robinson classic of the same name, D'Angelo maintained the integrity of the original ballad, the liquid fluid guitar variation and wafting strings, yet he accelerated the pace just barely and expanded strength to the drum kit. The complete product compensated proper tribute to Smokey Robinson and might be a little better than the 1979 cut. The two-disc exclusive edition of Brown Sugar includes four remixes of D'Angelo's Cruisin', one apiece from producers King Tech and Dallas Austin, and two others tagged Wet Remix and God Made Me Funky Remix. Of the Cruisin' renditions, Austin is closest to D'Angelo's description. Canned drums give it a diverse 90s knock, but the chords and the vocal arrangements are intact. The title track, Lady, and Me and Those Dreaming Eyes of Mine, also get a rare acapellas, instrumentals, and remixes here. Being attentive to Brown Sugar's deluxe edition is like strolling through the mid-90s. The record feels like an antique in that way, capturing D'Angelo at a budding stage in his imaginative advancement while dusting off verses from Kool G Rap, who initially occurred on King Tech's remix of Brown Sugar. Redman, extenuated on the Def Squad remix of Me and Those Dreaming Eyes of Mine, and AZ, himself a featured rapper on DJ Premier's Lady remix. Where Voodoo and Black Messiah felt particularly coarse and gloomy, Brown Sugar feels extremely luxuriant and luminous, a consequence of Bob Powers and Russell Elevado's excellent engineering and labor. Conversely, for Voodoo, Elevado and D'Angelo recorded everything on tape, which gave the record its lo-fi sound. Brown Sugar changed course for New Soul, not only imposing a burden on himself to surpass anticipations striding onward, but it unlocked a gate for a fresh new movement in Black Symphony. His background in the Pentecostal church enlightens Brown Sugar, with profound cuts When We Get By and Higher both sending to mind church processionals with their gospel-influenced instrumentation and layered choruses. D'Angelo's prowess as a composer twinkles brightest with the profane contribution, Shit Damn Mofo, which captivates listeners into the mind state of a man on the edge of executing a crime of passion, asking, "Why are you sleeping with my woman?" After finding his best friend in bed with his wife, D'Angelo avenges the absolute betrayal with bloodshed, transpiring in a creative abstract number that pairs the passionate with the morbid. Among Brown Sugar's handful of hits, the one that stood the examination of time is Lady, which helped solidify D'Angelo in the pantheon of extraordinary male R&B soloists of his era. Co-written by Raphael Sadiq, the song was initially intended for Tony Tony Tone, which was eventually passed along to D'Angelo during his stay at Sadiq's house during the making of the album. From the moment the beginning claps and guitars make way for a blooming bass line, you're fascinated with the instrumentation, which, when fitted with D'Angelo and Sadiq's writing, is an excellent match. Release is the third single from the record. The song Lady peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 and was authorized gold
the most prosperous release from Brown Sugar, and the song that crystallized D'Angelo as one of the prominent figures in R&B. Brown Sugar was a slow burner out of the entrance, debuting at number 6 on Billboard's top R&B albums chart before later climaxing at number 4 on the chart. Creating steam on the strength of Brown Sugar and Cruisin', the album gradually crawled towards gold significance, while the enormous achievement of Lady on urban and contemporary radio outlets helped prepare it to platinum credential. Slamming the shelves at a time when R&B was in a state of fluctuation, Brown Sugar was deemed a return to the genre's roots. While traditionalists like Tone and Mint Condition were among the limited acts maintaining organic funk and soul in their records through instrumentation, the genre had become dominated by crooners discovering success singing over synth-heavy, digitized soundscapes with cookie-cutter verses that lacked the profoundness of compositions of the past. Also, Sean Puffy Combs' Bad Boys Records had penetrated the genre, loaning his Midas, albeit sample-based, touch to remixes by many of the genre's largest acts, leaving purists like D'Angelo and others aggravated. Well, I say that right now, there is a new consciousness among black kids about the possibilities of instrumentation, he said, weeks before he would publish his classic Voodoo album in 2000. And maybe I had something to do with that. People like Puffy and those other artists who rely on samples, I just don't see that sticking around much longer. Puffy says that he's bringing back those old guys to the kids, but he knows he ain't doing it for that reason. That's just some alibi he cooked up. He knows half those kids he sells to would think he came up with that, what Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire first thought of. I say you gotta keep it real, man. Nevertheless, as a result of Brown Sugar's prosperity, neo-soul, the phrase stamped by Kedar Massenburg to characterize the album and D'Angelo's music as a whole, came to be the new flavorful trend in black music, with the volume of talented vocalists and musicians arising in its imprint. Singer Erykah Badu, another Massenburg discovery whose own debut studio solo effort, Baduism, would drop at the top of 1997, followed Brown Sugar's neo-soul suit with On and On, which blazed up the charts. Other names that appeared to be attributed with neo-soul included Maxwell, Eric Benet, and Lauryn Hill, all of whom dropped milestone debuts in the successive years following Brown Sugar's release. However, according to D'Angelo himself, neo-soul was nothing additional than a marketing tactic which he rejected on numerous occasions in the press and media. Once you put a name on something, you put it in a box, he said. You want to be in a position where you can grow as an artist. You never want to be told you're a neo-soul artist. Why don't you do neo-soul? I never claimed that. I never claimed neo-soul. When I came out, I said I made black music.
Sparking that love, oh yeah, within my soul. And when I touch you, yeah, I can't describe it. Sending chills, yeah, yeah, down to my bones. Ooh, God, yeah, as I witness and watch and you know, and watch you know, we'll ride our love. We'll ride our love. Fight our battles, and we can walk on the streets of gold. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Won't you take me higher, oh, yeah, than I've ever, ever known. Yeah, yeah. We could be there, like the king, the queen on the throne. Like king, the queen on the throne. Won't you take me higher?
As the touring and media responsibilities encircling Brown Sugar started to die down, D'Angelo would proceed to invent a reputation as an isolate, largely shunning his newfound position of stardom. He split with manager Kedar Massenburg, who had heightened to a high-ranking executive positions at both Universal Records and Motown Records following the fortune of Brown Sugar. And aside from recording cover versions of classic songs for various soundtracks, from Get on the Bus to High School High to Scream 2, D'Angelo was largely off the radar before returning almost 5 years later with this sophomore accomplishment, Voodoo. He said in a quote, "After Brown Sugar, I lost my enthusiasm to do all of this. I could have done without going to 7-Eleven at 3 o'clock to get a pack of cigarettes to find yourself swarmed signing autographs. I had to reiterate why I was doing it in the first place, and the reason was the love for the music. I was getting jaded looking at what was going on in the business, but I had to say, even if I didn't do this, I'd still be fucking with the music. So I'm cursed, and I'm cursed until the day that I die. So this is what I'm gonna do." We've come to the end of another episode. We want to thank you for listening and give a special thanks to our team who make this podcast conceivable. Album reviews are written and produced by me, Deshaun Miner. If you like album reviews, please leave a rating and a review on the podcast platform you experienced our content on. It really does help. For more ways to connect with our growing brand, Moon Vibes, follow us on our socials at Super Moon Vibes on IG and YouTube and at Moon Vibes Radio on Twitter and Facebook. You can also click the link in our show description to experience more celestial moon vibes. Until next time, I'm Deshaun Miner. Stay quarantined clean and share this podcast with someone you love. Peace and abundance.